Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, here are all the real Christians. Just kidding. It's the ones online right now that are cheering on the New York Giants. Those are the real, the New York Giants fans. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. Welcome all those online that are joining us in the afternoon time. Not live. Me and my buddy Bob Lenz, who's preaching over at Christ the Rock right now, we're texting all week. I actually texted Joel Ziner, the senior pastor there. We're buds, and I was texting him like, hey, Joel, what are you doing this Sunday? Because it's the game. And he's like, oh, I forgot. I scheduled Bob Lenz to preach instead. Sure, Joel. So it's fun, but we're glad to be here. We're glad to do it. It's a joy to worship with you this morning. About 3 years ago, I got into this thing called New Year's resolutions. I only like to improve my life once a year. And so my New Year's resolutions, for that year, I had two of them. First one was to floss, and I nailed it. I did really good. I actually had to buy floss. You guys ever have to buy floss? That's how much I flossed. I hated buying something you get for free at the dentist and never use, but it got to that point. So that one was good. And then the other one, I really sensed this from the Lord. I just heard him tell me, pray. He just said prayer. And this was the fall of 2019. So I didn't know what 2020 was gonna bring. But at the end of 2019, I decided to just commit to go on a journey that I have been on for the last 3 years, and I am still on, and I feel like I'm just beginning. But I really started with this idea. I wrote this in my journal, and I'll let you fill in the blank for what you need to put in this blank. But for me, I just wrote down, Lord, I don't want to go another decade. I don't want to go another decade of ministry, leadership. For you, it might be parenting. It might be, you know, being a spouse. It might be just life. I don't want to go another decade and readily concede to people that I struggle, that I'm not flourishing in my prayer life. I just didn't want to do another decade of ministry and not have a life that is rich in prayer. And so that was my request to God. I actually didn't know where to start. So I asked God, teach me to pray. I actually prayed, think about it, for help in prayer, which is not too different than what the disciples did in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, right before he gives them the famous, the Lord's Prayer. They ask him, they say, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know why they asked this question? Because they saw him praying, and they saw the power. They saw the miracles. They saw all these incredible things that he was doing, and they put those things together. They said, he prays, and things happen that we can't explain. It's prayer. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, it's the one thing, I'm not saying there weren't other things, but it's the one thing that's recorded where the disciples actually asked Jesus to teach on. I'm sure they asked him to teach on other stuff, but this is the one that the Gospel account of Luke writes down that this is what they wanted to know. This is the one time Jesus is asked by his own followers, would you teach us about something? And it's prayer. You know, I was driving my daughter to school this a couple weeks ago. Addie, she's 5, we're on our way to kindergarten, and about halfway there, I tell her, I say, listen, Daddy's gotta go away for a couple days. This was a couple weeks ago. I had to leave for about 3 days. I'm going to a conference to a church, and I'm gonna learn about prayer. So I need you to be a good girl for mommy. I need you to take care of stuff around the house while I'm gone. And she's quiet, she's listening. And she goes, Daddy, you're going to learn about prayer? And I said, yeah, I'm gonna go learn about prayer. And she goes, don't you already know everything there is to know about prayer? Honestly, 3 years ago, I might have said yes. You know, for me, I just 3 years ago, I was like, why would you go and spend 3 days studying prayer? Why would anybody like do this really deep theological and scriptural study of prayer? Why would you practice trying to get good at praying? It's simple. That's what I thought. It was just simple. Just talking to God. And I'm part right, and you're part right, and that's partly true. But listen, the Bible is full of these things. It's the spiritual truths in the Bible are all over the place, and they share these two things. They are both simple and profound. It's both. They're both simple and profound. It's simple enough to teach a child, but it is profound enough to write a doctoral thesis on it and not scratch the surface, to not even get close. I mean, that's all over the Bible. There's spiritual truths like that all over Scripture. I mean, the moment you think you got it all figured out, welcome to being a Pharisee. There's a humility to the Word of God. You'll never get to the bottom of all of it. And the spiritual truths and realities of prayer are the same. Lord, teach me. There's more. So as this may be my first year as senior pastor here, I've been 9 months into it. People ask me, how's it going? I'm like, the job's easy. It's 9 months in, and it's been such a joy. You all have been so kind and so generous in my rookie year here. But as I prayed and I asked God, what do we need to prioritize? You know, as a leader, I don't just think about you individually, though I do. I think about us as a group. I'm responsible for this, the culture here. I think about who are we becoming as a community, as a body? What does God want for us as a group? Where are we going? What's on the horizon line? I just sense God saying, you got to start on your knees. You know, our vision is big. We talked about it last week. It's big. And if y'all serve in it and y'all go on the mission trips and go to the ends of the earth like we're shooting for, and you all give and we pay off our debt and we finance all the things we want to do, but no one prays, we've missed it. We've missed it. I mean, if Nazi Germany has taught us anything, is that you can move the world, tectonic plate shifting movements in the world happen with lots of money, charismatic speakers, you can grab a microphone and rally people up. You can do incredibly big things without the Holy Spirit. And I think about what's ahead in our church, I think about what's coming, and I can hear God say, I want you to start on your knees. The challenges ahead are too great, and the vision is too big for this church not to begin with the question, Lord, teach us, teach us as a group. How do you want Alliance Church to pray? Would you teach us to pray, Lord? And that's what we're gonna ask over the next 8 weeks. And that's why it was just too important to not give this away for free. Pastor Mark Harris and my mom put a lot into this, along with some other ministry leaders. Starting tomorrow, there is a devotional for us to walk alongside Nehemiah in prayer. We're gonna pray with different leaders in Scripture, different types of people in Scripture every day for 5 days of the week. And then on the weekends, you'll see the questions each week. You can get the verses of what we're going to be talking about next week are all in here. This is just too important. We have to pray. Because here's what's true. The deeper things of God, you know, life transformation, deliverance from addiction, marriages healed and restored, people forgiving those that have betrayed them, those kinds of things, the deeper things of God don't happen without prayer. You can do all kinds of other stuff without prayer, but I don't know about you. I want the deeper stuff. I want more. And so we're gonna go through it. And the first passage we're gonna be in, and it's in your in your little prayer booklet. You can follow along and take notes. But it's Matthew chapter 6. This is also where Jesus taught about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll start with the first verse there, verse 5. We're going to read two verses. How's that? You get two whole verses this morning. And when you pray, he starts with and, because he assumes the stuff before it is going to go together. You know what the stuff before it is? Giving to the needy. If you're going to do justice in this world, if we're going to take care of the poor, the needy, the neglected, it's got to be done with prayer. We got a vision to be a blessing to the community, to give, to serve, to make a difference. Jesus did. He dealt with physical needs. He fed the hungry. He clothed the naked. He did this. But listen, it's got to be with prayer. That's why he says, and. He assumes it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Three things leap off the page for me on this. The first one is that prayer, if it's exclusively public prayer, it's hypocritical. It's hard to hear. But let me put it to you this way. If the only time, the only time you really pray is before a meal or in a gathering of other Christians and someone needs to open it up in prayer or a meeting or a worship service like this where you come, you worship, we spend some time corporately together in prayer, or you publicly pray. If that's the only time, that's all you ever do, I gotta ask you this question. Are you relating to God? Or are you relating to a social norm? Are you trying to be accepted by what's normal with others, with people? Or are you praying in a relationship with God? Look, you're supposed to pray corporately. In fact, we should do more of it. We should pray more corporately. It is so good. Where two or three are gathered, right? I am there. Jesus, actually, we have recorded prayers of his, several of them. Why? Because he prayed them publicly. The disciples were gathered in prayer. Then God sends the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. We're supposed to stay together and pray together. That's one of the signs of the early church, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to the Lord's Supper, and to what? Prayer. Together. We're supposed to. We have to pray corporately together. But if that is the only time you pray, you have to ask yourself, who am I relating to? See, Jesus, he had a habit of doing this. He prayed privately with just God. He would get away. What does it say in Luke 5? We have it recorded here where Jesus says, often he withdrew alone, isolate, to the wilderness to do something, to pray. Let me add this in. Let me just add a thought here, okay? If there's one person that's ever existed in all of humanity that probably reserves the right to never have to exclusively pray. He prays while he's doing the dishes, or they pray while they're cutting the grass, or they pray while they're on their commute to work. All good stuff, right? We're supposed to pray without ceasing, all good. But if there's one person who probably reserves the right to never have to set aside time, like space and time, to do nothing else but pray, you'd think it'd be Jesus, right? Who's he praying to in the first place? He's God, right? His thoughts, every thought he has, when he thinks to himself, who's he thinking to? Himself. Who is he? God. That's a prayer. Like, every thought he has is a prayer. If there's one person that probably didn't need to get away and do nothing but pray, it'd probably be Jesus, right? And yet he's famous for it. He was always getting away to pray. In fact, the disciples were always like, where's Jesus? Oh, he's just off praying. He was always trying to get away. Listen, this is something you need to know about Jesus' ministry. He never tried to grow a crowd. Didn't try to increase the Facebook likes. Didn't try to get the Instagram followers. He never was pointed at the crowd. Jesus was never trying to grow his fan base. That's not what he was about. There was a different direction he was pointed. You know where it was? Run away from the crowd. He was always running away, getting alone in the wilderness to pray. He was always getting away. He had compassion on the crowd. You'll read that. He had compassion on the crowd. But he wasn't trying to grow this thing. He was always running backstage to be alone with God. And the more he did that, the bigger the crowds grew. See, Jesus set aside time to just pray. Let me ask you this. Where's your wilderness? Do you have one? Have you ever thought about this? Do you have a place? Jesus had a place often he went to. You know, it's not like you can't pray while you're driving to work. It's not like you can't pray while you're doing the dishes or cutting the grass. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Maybe add that in. But do you have a place where you're not doing anything? You're not commuting. You're not doing the dishes. You're not cutting the grass. You're just praying. That's the wilderness. If you have a place like that in your life, let me point out the second thing that pops out here. Exclusive public prayer. So exclusively doing it publicly, it kind of will make your relationship with God impersonal. Let me give an example. I've asked someone to kind of come out and help me with this. Don, he's glad to do it because I asked him to do it. So Don, why don't you stand right here? Thank you for doing this. So this is what it's like. If you only pray publicly, okay, you don't pray privately with God. It's kind of like those people that you see. You ever see this happen where you're at like a restaurant, you're in an airport, and you notice somebody sees a celebrity. So you see the celebrity, but then someone else sees them, and they run up to the celebrity, and you ever see this happen? And they just quick, like, take a selfie with them, and then they run away, and they just start showing everybody, hey, look at this. And the poor human being is just there, treated like a piece of meat for this person to just, you know, be associated with this picture. At some level, when we do this public thing with God, but we never spend time personally just with him alone, it's treating him a bit like a celebrity, like by association. You're just praying in public so people see that you're with him, you're with God, but you don't know him. You don't ever commune with him and abide with him. Do you see the difference? Do you feel that? And it's no wonder why your relationship with God feels plastic. It's no wonder why he feels distant. You know, God wants to have a personal relationship with you. What's your prayer life like? Thank you, Don. Thanks for being up here for this. What is your prayer life like personally? And here's the last thing you need to hear from this text. Why do you want a prayer life? Why do you want it? Because here's what's true in the text. Your reason, your answer to that question will be your reward, okay? Your reason is your reward. Remember that. Turn to the person next to you and say, the reason is the reward. Your reason is your reward. Remember this. Why do you want to pray? If your reason is anything other than to be with God, man, you're not only probably not going to get what you want, but you're not going to be with God. If I would have answered this question honestly 3 years ago, it would have been a good motive, but it's still not the best reason. If I would have been honest with you, and I may not have told you this because I don't even want to believe it was true, but when I really looked inward and I really sat when I asked God to reveal my own motives and heart to him, this is what came out. And it's not a bad motive, but it's kind of capitulated by James chapter 5. James 5, we do a James 5 healing service here. It's kind of based off of this passage. James 5, verse 16, and what the end it says there, it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And if I was honest with you, with what I really wanted a prayer life for, man, I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to be a good leader. I wanted to see God accomplish vision. I wanted the power. And honestly, I don't think it was because I'm an egomaniac, diabolical, you know, egomaniacal person. I don't think that's it. I want to do good things. I want to be a good leader. I want to serve well. But that's not the best reason. Let me tell you where the best reason is. Let me tell you God's reason. You want to know God's reason why he wants you to pray? You want to know God's reason why he wants you to be a good prayer? Would you let him teach you this morning about prayer? Are you willing to go a little deeper in learning about prayer this morning? Are you ready? Okay. Let me read what we just read. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. That was the first verse I read when I wanted to learn about prayer. You might recognize this one in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We'll start there because we just read that one day. Jesus was praying in a certain place. The disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray. The next verse, he helps teach them how to pray. And it starts with this. When you pray, say, Father. Would you let Jesus teach you a little something about prayer? Let's start with the first lesson on prayer. Why do you pray? What's your reason? That'll be your reward. That's what you get. So what's your reason? Well, let's start with Jesus's reason with the word Father. Some of us grew up with parents who the only time we got their attention, the only time they talked to us or really spent time with us was when we were in trouble, when our grades were low, when we weren't performing, we didn't win, we didn't get the scholarship, or maybe that's the only time they did spend time with us, that's the only time we got their attention, was when we were performing, when we were doing a good job. Or maybe a parent who wanted to be around you when they just needed help with something. Hey, help me come lift this. Help me come fix this. They just need you for something. That's the only time that you got to spend time with your parents. That's the only time you got their attention. There's a lot of people like this. And what does that say about your parents' motivations? What does that say about that parent or that teacher or that coach or that person in your life, that friend who only wants you and wants to be around you when they want something from you? What does that say about their motivations? What does it say about that father? Do you want to know God's motivations, his reason, why he wants you to pray? Gosh, Brian, the first thing you gotta learn is it's not because I want you to do anything. I want anything from you. I'm your dad, and I'm a good one who wants to be with you and abide with you in a spiritual way because he's a spiritual being, and I want you to feel my love. I want you to feel my delight in you. I love you. You know, any parent knows this. If you want the kids to listen to you and go in the good path that you're trying to help them find, that you're actually wanting for them, if you want their attention, you got to spend time with them. You got to play with them. You got to enjoy what they enjoy. You got to be with them. You got to just love them for who they are. And when they know that you love them as they are, they want to be with you too. They want to spend time with you. They want to know what you think about stuff. They want your advice on things. When they know that you love them, no matter what. And when you see God's reason and his motivation for why he wants a prayer life for you, you know what you want? You start going into prayer going, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's something you want because you realize he's your reason. He's the best thing. He's all you really want. He's enough for you. He loves you no matter what, unlike the rest of the world. He's the perfect father. And when your reason for prayer, when your reason for why you want to finish these 8 weeks and be good at prayer, moves beyond. We got a vision to do. We got stuff to accomplish. We got work to do. I got sanctification to get. I got more religious works to do. When it moves beyond that, and it's just, I just want to be with you, Jesus. I just want to be with you, Father. I just praise you. I just want to bask in your love and abide in you. Oh man, then stuff starts to change in your life. Then you start getting a power from your identity and who you are as a son, as a daughter, because he's Father. You know, there's a number of prayers that are recorded that Jesus prayed in the Bible, where he actually is praying and it's written down what he said. There's only one prayer recorded where Jesus prays, where he doesn't address the Father as Father. There's only one. Do you know which prayer it is? It's in Matthew chapter 27. It goes like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's the only prayer where Jesus doesn't address God as Father. Why? Because that's really, that's the prayer we should be praying. That's our prayer. That's the just, reasonable prayer for every human being that's ever existed, is to get to the end of our life doing the best we can, trying to do all the good things we can, trying to be the best version of ourselves, get to the end of our life, stand before our Maker, and realize the standard is way higher. He is way more holy, way more loving, way more selfless, and our reasonable response to that moment as he looks at us and says, I don't know you. You're not one of my kids. We don't have a relationship. You're nothing like me. Kids look like their parents. It's just how it works. They just look like their parents. And you don't look anything like me. Get away from me. I don't know you. And we yell, my God, why have you forsaken me, as we drift off into the abyssless void? That's our prayer. And Jesus prayed it. Why? Because he took the full weight of wrath of God and the just punishment for every sin that you ever create. He took it on that cross upon himself. And one of the consequences is being cut off from Father. He didn't get to say Father. Because we don't get to say Father unless Jesus, unless your faith is in him and what he did on that cross. The first lesson of prayer is Jesus. The first lesson of prayer is that it's about coming into a relationship with God as Father, who loves you as his child. He just wants to be with you and abide with you. None of that happens without Jesus and your faith in him. So, what's your reason? Start there. Why do you want to pray? If your reason is because you want to be with Dad, you just want to be with him, that will be your reward for the next 8 weeks. Let's stand for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a good Father. You want to be with us because you love us. Thank you that you're not petty or insecure where you need something from us. You need us to love you and worship you. You love us, Lord. While we were still sinners, you died for us. Before we could even worship you, before we could even love you back, you loved us and died for us. Lord, help us to get better. Teach us to pray better, to be better at prayer, by learning to love and seek your presence as Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll see you next week.